What is happening, people of the interwebs? It is time for another episode of the Do Things Podcast. But before we get to the show, a quick word from our sponsors. And if you happen to be thinking to yourself, well, now I don't know where to get started. I understand Anchor.fm is great, but how do I make a podcast? I have got you covered. We have a brand new course called Do Podcast that take you from start to finish, everything you need to know about making and distributing your podcast. There is a free course where you can learn everything you need to know to use just your phone to create your very own podcast. Go to dothingsonline.com and start today. We can't wait for you to do that podcast.
Who's ready to do things?
What is happening, people of the interwebs? The Do Things Podcast.
The Do Things Podcast of the Do Things Podcast.
And I am jacked out of my mind right now. I just want to help people, man. Burn your plans and do things. Selfies and butterflies.
You are a miracle.
Stop worrying about the things you can't control.
Burn your plans and do things.
Let's go. That's it. What is happening, people of the interwebs? It is Todd Frazier, and this is the Do Things Podcast. Oh, man, it's, you know, we've been talking about a lot about coronavirus. I know you've probably been hearing a lot about coronavirus. You're probably sick of all the talk about it, but it literally is such a huge thing, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a creator, or you've got anything where you're trying to do a thing right now, or you were trying to do a thing, and all of a sudden it's like you just everything got pulled out from under you. It's like that the magician pulling the tablecloth out from everything underneath on a table and making it like that's a horrible analogy, but the rug's pulled out from under you. It's the slip on a banana peel. Nothing you had control over and it's just gone. And I think that's something that so many people are dealing with. And the one thing I want to do is I want to highlight the fact that you're not alone. You're not the only one. You're not in a situation where you're in a vacuum and like, man, everyone else is succeeding and I'm screwing up right now. No, not the case. Everyone's having trouble. Everyone's having issues. It just is all about the perspective. And what perspective do you choose to have in light of a very difficult situation? And in today's episode of the Do Things Podcast, I sit down with my very good friend, Mikhail Alfon, where he's been on the show twice now. This is his third time. He's the biggest guest we've had so far, the most consistent guest we've had so far. I love talking to Mikhail, and he's got a great perspective and a couple of things that we talked about, you know, what's happening for him during this time. How is he navigating this with his business? And then we kind of get into a little bit of discussion about, you know, what industries and how are they going to have to pivot to really come out of this and take advantage of this opportunity or really change how they do their business. One of them, I really loved his perspective on the restaurant industry. And I think that's something that you're going to get a lot out of it, and it's going to hopefully make you kind of stretch your thinking a little bit and make you have a different perspective and push you forward in taking action in this crazy time. So without enough of me talking about it, let's get to my conversation with Mikhail Alfon from Blue Light Media, talking about what in the world is going on and how we can change our perspective and really pivot no matter what industry you're in during this pandemic. So, Mikhail, what is going on? How have you been? Like, what's the biggest impact for you? I'm gonna think I know what it is, but I want you to tell me.
In business, in life, or what?
All of the. Let's start with life. Let's talk about what our humanistic issues are. Let's go there first.
Sure. So, I think. I mean, the biggest thing that I've had to deal with since like this COVID-19 coronavirus lockdown, shutdown, whatever it is canceling my wedding a week before it was supposed to happen. Yeah. That was kind of a pain. outside of that, I mean, there's even a lot of positives to that. But outside of that, from a life perspective, not too much. I mean, obviously, you know, running Blue Light and leading that, like, life and business gets incorporated a lot. But overall, you know, not too much. That was the biggest thing that was going to happen to me for a while. So like,
yeah,
I don't know how much bigger it gets than your wedding getting canceled outside of like people passing away, which hopefully nobody has to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole part of this that is the thing that is most impactful, especially if it's you, is the people that are affected physically and don't make it, right?
Like, yeah,
that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Have you had anybody connected to this yet?
No.
Okay. And we've had some family members, but nobody's gone bad. Everybody's stayed healthy. So canceling your wedding, how did that, like, I mean, obviously big deal, big decision. Did you guys toy with trying to do it some unique way?
Yeah, dude, we tried everything. So at first we were going forward with it. Even up until that Sunday, I believe that Sunday morning, which I believe was the 16th or the 15th, cause we were supposed to get married on the 21st. That Sunday morning we were like all speed ahead. And then as the day went on, we're like, oh, like this isn't going to happen. Cause, around that week of March 16th or so, like, everything was just happening on a minute by minute basis. Basically, mm-hmm. You started getting more pop-ups, like more companies sending emails, so on and so forth. So we were still going to move forward with it. And then at one point, I think we decided, all right, I think like probably a third of our guest list dropped out, but we still wanted to do it. And then we finally just decided not to, because even if people did go, they would have this cloud over their head. And that's not what we wanted. We attempted to pull something together in a week. And then I think that afternoon we found out that we're actually going on, you know, the social distancing, the mandates around like going out, things like that. So yeah, there's a lot of different creative ways that we've been wanting to do it. We thought about maybe doing it in April, and luckily we didn't put any more deposits down to lose, because obviously in Orange County in April, we couldn't really be going anywhere. So we're hoping to do it as soon as we can in May. And then we've decided, look, we're going to do it with our immediate family, which ends up being 20 people. And as long as we can get 20 people together, that's how we're going to do it. And we'll use Facebook Live and Zoom to broadcast it to our family and friends. And when we can get 300 people in one room together, then we'll host a big party. But,
yeah.
You know, what's interesting is once everything's taken away from you, not everything's taken away. We have a lot of amazing things. But when so much is taken away from you, you're forced to recognize what's actually important. And we spent so much time wondering about, you know, what are the place cards going to look like? Like, what music are people going to play? Like, where are people going to sit? And at the end of the day, all that really mattered was the fact that we were getting married. And so, you know, our priorities got aligned properly. And now, as long as my grandma, my uncle, my mom, my brother, his girlfriend and some of our cousins are there. And then on her side, pretty much the same thing. Her mom or dad, her brother or sister, and their significant others and niece are there. That's it. You know, the rest Zoom call.
Yeah, that's right. So how did the venues handle this? Cause that'd be interesting being on the other side of that. Cause you weren't the only wedding that canceled, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, they kept their deposits.
Yeah.
And they allowed you to, okay. So, better question is we were having a destination wedding, right? So right. There was a certain amount of rooms that were allocated for our wedding. They gave us credits for anything that we bought, and those credits would last a year. Mm-hmm. So we'll end up going back, and it sounds like we're going to end up having our, you know, our honeymoon with basically everybody that was supposed to go to the wedding.
that'll be a very interesting honeymoon.
Yeah, I know. They're going to have to pay to watch though.
I will bow out of that. I'll leave that to you guys. It's so crazy seeing so many things impacted. Like you say, once they're gone, you realize the things that are important, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's done that for a lot of people. From a business standpoint, let's switch gears just a little bit. Sure. I know that there is a lot that's been, especially in the advertising world, and companies seeing this as a big problem. But I think that there's another side to that. What are you experiencing on your end from your business side, not from your customer side?
Sure. So from my business, yeah, we definitely had some clients cut out. We had some boutique fitness gyms, which were obviously impacted. So they couldn't do anything. And there's no rebuttal to the fact that the government and a pandemic is shutting down their business. They didn't teach you that in sales school or on Glenn Ross. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin comes in. It's like, no, you close them. Like,
right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that, you know, and some other businesses did pull back as well too. Dental lab pulled back. Interestingly enough, one of the companies that's doing really well is a luxury luggage company. Oddly doing pretty well, but you know, they're running some sales though. And their supply chain was, their supply chain's over in China. So I think that they just made some decisions to like run some sales. Mm-hmm. But they've been able to generate a lot of revenue from that, and we still have that client, which is nice. But you know, we had a couple pull back for sure, and then actually just 2 days ago, I found out I was losing a quarter of our revenue. That didn't feel good.
Yeah. And then, what was it? Yeah. What was the result of that? Just clients putting things on pause, or?
So we work with a private equity firm that works with, you know, celebrities to launch brands on behalf of that celebrity's name, right? Mm-hmm. So a couple of them, there was two brands that were supposed to be launching in April, but they couldn't do a lot of the things that they needed to do, like the editorial shoots and a lot of the press and the events that they wanted to do to launch. So, you know, they had no choice really. And I'm sure the talent or that celebrity also had some say in that as well. So they had a couple brands that needed to pull back. So that was all in one email. Definitely challenging to deal with, but, you know, it is what it is. So as it stands today, it's definitely a lot more challenging than it was if you had interviewed me 2 weeks ago. I don't know. That's what I'm experiencing as a business.
Yeah. No, I think we all are. We all are on some level, and everybody's is different. Like a friend of mine who's also a client, but he's in the car business, and mm-hmm. Like, it's just been a straight drop off. And I know
I can't imagine that.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, and I feel like what's happening is, yes, there's lots of things that are going bad. However, this is an opportunity to innovate and make things, mm-hmm. like take advantage of this time, because we can't look at this as a permanent situation. Like, I'm assuming you're feeling that way. This isn't permanent.
No.
Yeah. It's just a blip on the radar, but there's a lot of people that are, you know, talking end of the world. Like, some people may not be able to survive. Do you see anybody that won't be able, an industry specific that won't be able to make it?
It's not that it's not going to make it, but what I think is that a lot of industries are going to be changed forever, forever dramatically. Mm. One of them is obviously the restaurant industry. Yeah. You see what's going on with, what is my second favorite pizza place? Little Caesars. They have like, dude, a lot of value.
It's
a lot
so
of
value. Good.
Dude, thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, thank you. So Little Caesars, for example, they have like touchless pizza. You go in, I'm sure you swipe your credit card, and then you get like, it's an ATM machine for pizza, which is basically heaven on earth.
What?
Yeah, dude, it's pretty tight. So, you know, so there's innovations like that happening. So it doesn't look the same anymore. Same mm-hmm. thing with restaurants. I think for those restaurants that didn't really adapt to like, you know, to dining in, or I mean, I'm sorry, delivery,
right,
that type of thing, they're obviously forced to do that. And I think that luxury dining is something that you can't necessarily send to anyone. So what I predict is that there's going to be more of these restaurants. Let's take Mastro's, for example, where they're not necessarily just selling their food, they're selling the reservation itself.
Yeah.
Because you can only have, let's say, instead of the 200 people in a restaurant, now you can have 20. And if you want that seat, they're in high demand, and now they can sell that. So maybe they can make up revenue there. But, you know, those industries are changed. Boutique fitness, I think, has changed a lot. And what I love is, like, one of my favorite brands work in Irvine, mm-hmm. Work Fitness Studio. They're very similar to, like, HIIT, maybe a little CrossFit, however you want to describe that. But now they're forced to create on-demand video services. But before, when they were just serving a community of people in Orange County, now they're like, Dane, who's the owner of that, now he's like, he had somebody from North Carolina join in on one of his sessions today. You have like a potential for a lot of wide reach. So I don't think that people like don't survive it. I think that like no industry, like the industries will still be there, but it's just, it's different how they operate. Right. Yeah. So, the ones that won't survive are just the people that couldn't adapt fast enough or didn't sure. have enough funding, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I think you make an interesting point about the luxury dining, because they're selling an experience. Yes, they're selling really good food, but the opportunity of saying, hey, we are selling this prime, almost like prime real estate mm-hmm. to be at a table in Mastro's when everything's lifted. I mean, that could get a boost. Right now, it doesn't help them at all.
Right now.
But I think moving forward, that's an interesting thing to think about.
I know. I really want to pitch it to them, so.
I think you should. Hey, Mastro's, if you're listening to this, because I'm sure you listen to my podcast or watching this, whatever, you should call Mikhail because he's got ideas. So innovation, I think, is a big thing right now. And there's been a lot of people that have been hesitant to jump into some of the digital stuff that you and I know works very well.
Yeah.
Yet now they're being forced to. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any calls from people that you were surprised you got calls from? Or is it, has that happened yet? It may be too soon.
Yeah. So I was on a call with, he makes products for dental technicians.
Okay.
Right. So the dental technician is somebody that actually fabricates the replacement tooth or whatever the case may be.
Gotcha.
And so he makes products for them. So it could be like some sort of a bonding solution. It could be the actual material, whatever it is. Got a call from him that he's been looking to go direct to consumer anyways, but obviously this kind of sped up. They're just redoing budgets, but he wanted to do like product photography with us. And if you've seen our product photography, it's very like editorial billboard-esque, you know, with like honey dripping down bars, there's like whatever. And he's like, I want it to look like that. I'm like, you're cool.
Wow.
Let's be friends. Yeah. So that was probably the most surprising one. Most of the brands, you know, outside of the boutique fitness and the ones that just didn't, that it wasn't possible to have e-commerce. We do a lot of work with consumer packaged goods in the natural product space. So they already had some sort of e-commerce platform set up for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from the standpoint of having an e-commerce platform, if you can supply the demand, this is a real opportunity in there. You mentioned the luggage company earlier. I'm curious, are they manufacturing more or are they just selling out their inventory?
I believe they're selling out their inventory just because they actually manufacture, or at least the parts come in China and then it's assembled in the USA.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, because that's a different animal to all this. If you're saying, well, we've got all this inventory we've got to get rid of, but from a supply chain standpoint, which is where the deadlock is going to come in, is who's going to be able to make up on that supply chain? And then can you do it here in America? And I think that's probably the thing that I see potentially being the biggest impact is, will there be companies, specifically CPG brands, that move stuff back to America? Is it feasible? Is it affordable? I don't even know if that can happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know too much about supply chain management and really what goes into that. I've only seen it from like afar. Mm-hmm. But what I do think is it's definitely going to be these companies that either they're owned by bigger companies and they have the capital to do that or not, because it's still going to be expensive here.
Yeah.
Because the only people that are really going to make it through, or I don't want to say that. A lot of the people that will make it through, like, they're going to be those people who had all this money. You know, there's going to be who had a bunch of funding that were owned by conglomerates, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, they're controlling the demand. Mm-hmm. So before we get too far into conspiracy theories as to why it's all happening.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but it is definitely forcing people to be a little bit more resourceful for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing that people keep talking about. We need to bring it back. And I'm like, I don't know if the American population is ready to actually take that on. I think from a political, sociological standpoint, I don't know if that's possible. So, right. I mean, you and I have seen enough of the workforce that it's questionable in my mind.
Yeah, 100%.
So something that I did when all this happened and things shut down, obviously taxes didn't change for me. So I was doing taxes. When the deadline moved, I had a little bit more space. And the thing that I really wanted to do is I created a podcast course on just making podcasts, because I think everybody needs one. And so I dove into that for like 2 weeks straight and it was insane. And I put it out. And so far, for the couple of weeks that it's been out so far, it's getting a really good response. You mentioned doing something about creating an academy or something for, what did you guys do and what's happening with that?
So the academy was supposed to be an all day live immersive that really walked the attendee through really our strategy and how we execute that strategy for consumer packaged goods, right? So influencer marketing, paid media, community management, product photography, we even did a live demo there. We couldn't do the live demo anymore. So, you know, we had to shift to digital. And this was supposed to be a paid course, but it was relatively expensive. It was on, I think we're doing it for $700 for the all day thing. So that was a challenge in itself of like, how are we going to sell that, right? But after it moved, after we couldn't do it live, we decided, you know, the content is already there. We had all the content. So now it was just about doing it differently. So we decided, you know what, let's do it. let's do it in webinar style. We tried selling it as a webinar. Frankly, it didn't work. And so we just did it as a free course instead. And then what we noticed too is like, we're getting a ton of ads on all these courses anyways, that once offered it for $200, but they're doing it for free. And we're the jackasses trying to charge people for this influencer marketing stuff. You know what I mean? So we're like, all right, like, I guess we'll do that for free now. And really what the biggest change in this was that instead of looking at it as a revenue driver, which it would probably wouldn't have done as much as we wanted it to anyways, as opposed to looking at it as a revenue driver, why not just have it as a really like good top of funnel strategy, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we're using it for now. We're paying a little bit more attention to our agency's email funnel and that sequence. And
Yeah.
And just looking at it like that. And we'll be releasing another one for paid media with Hannah soon. We'll be able to start that process all over again.
Yeah. And I think that's really smart to say, hey, we put it out and based on, because it hadn't been out long, right? When you made the decision to, hey, let's switch it to free. Like, I think there's so much value, especially in what your ROI could be for somebody to go through that and realize, oh man, I can't do this, which is really, that's really what it comes down to. Because all the people that go through this course, even if they paid the $700, are they going to actually do it or not? I don't know. And then they come knocking on your door.
Yeah, don't give away all the secrets, Don.
I mean, I wouldn't give away any of those secrets. I'm just talking logic.
I think people basically know that now though. So yeah. I felt better about it that way. Mm-hmm. I just did like. Because, and at one point too, and I think if anybody's looking to do that on their own, you have to understand what the difference is between making a quick buck and really hurting your brand. Over the last couple of years, like we've done a pretty good job of building a brand to where we went from like the hustle, like work hard every day type of people to maybe a more polished look. And it's like, look, we're not Vayner, we're not WPI, but we're not your next door neighbor either, yeah. So it took a lot of work to get there. I thought for about 45 seconds, like, should I just offer this at like $15? And then I realized that that would just hurt what we look like altogether. So it was better to do it free to maintain brand equity there.
Yeah. No, I think that's smart. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think you say you're putting out another course. I mean, I think that's almost the best way to market the service business like you do, is to kind of give them a glimpse of the inside, right? I mean, in these courses, someone feasibly could take this course and then they could go do their thing, right?
Yeah.
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 So,
and that's the goal, dude. We give everything away in these things. We have like the trackers we made. We have agreements that I paid my attorney to put together for these influencers.
Wow.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff in there like that in itself. That's a $600 value. Like, and we're just giving it away. But I also realized, like, I've given, and you've probably dealt with the same thing, I've given literally the keys to like the entire thing away before, and nobody's going to walk up to the door and unlock it. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
Absolutely. I think that is the only tried and true principle in all of this, is like, it comes down to, will anybody do the thing? They may have all the information, because you can find it. Like, you can go out and piece it together, which is, I think, how you and I have kind of figured out to do what we do. Like, we just searched it, figured it out, pushed some buttons, and got some other people that had some ideas and knew how to do this and put it together. And then we actually did the thing. Like, that's what this show's all about, Mikhail.
100%.
So now, one other thing before we finish up here, but you talked about the course and giving it away and the value that you're creating there. There's a lot of people that are seeing this and they see the course world, me included, as a way to make a quick buck, right? Mm-hmm. And there is something to say, there are the people doing the high touch courses. However, there's the live situation like you were going to do, where you're actually giving them hands-on training, and there is value to that. But the people that I see out there that are pushing courses right now, I'm pushing a course, if you want to say pushing, but it's, you can get a free access, and then there's a low level tier where you get all the information. But it's practical steps and stuff like that. Are you seeing that in the influencer space, where I know Jake Paul put out a couple of courses trying to show people? I think what did he call it? He called it.
I have no clue. I just don't really care for what his brand.
I agree with you. I thought it was hilarious because I got to come up with a name with it, because it was so ridiculous. And I saw it and I thought, no way. Oh, financial freedom. financial free something or other. And it was teaching people how to be financially free. And I'm like, there's no understanding, no self-awareness of what your brand is and who your target is. Like, that doesn't make sense. In the influencer space, especially right now, are there influencers that are understanding a little bit better why they have value, or if they are losing value, why they're losing value? Are you seeing that right now?
So I'll be honest with you. I spend literally no time scrolling through feeds or paying attention to what like massive people are doing. I will say that Brittany Crystal is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing an excellent job. Still doubling down on her LinkedIn course. She's branded herself as the person, her audience is the female entrepreneur who like believes in that empowerment and wants to build their career and their personal brand. And she's done an excellent job of doing that. I think you doing one for a podcast makes a lot of sense for who you are as well too. But outside of that, dude, like I respond to some things and whatever, and there's a couple people I'm interested in, but it has nothing to do with courses or anything like that. So I don't pay too much attention to that. I will say that there is a company called Within, who I believe is also, they're a marketing agency as well.
Okay.
But they're big. I think they do about like 5.1 billion in billings a year type of thing. But they're offering a lot of resources right now through their email newsletter, and they're just doing that for free. So there are some things that I'm seeing that I think are doing pretty well. But as far as like the individual influencer, I don't even know if I follow any, to be honest. Like,
well, but you are one. I mean, let's be real. You are one. So
I don't know.
Do you see that what's happening right now affecting the use of influencer marketing? Is that something you see as a trend?
It definitely took a pause for the first 3 weeks. And then now they're definitely activating again. Mm. I think that the partners that we're working with, they wanted to continue with influencer marketing as it is anyways.
Oh.
But what I think brands need to understand is that the influencer is not just a way to get awareness and drive conversions for you, if you were doing it right in the first place, but it's also one of the most important aspects of your creative flow anyways, because all of our editorial shoots, our photo shoots, our video shoots, they're getting canceled because we can't be around people.
Yeah.
But a lot of these influencers already created that content on their own, right? So like if... So like, I don't know. I have one client, one partner who's just like, I don't want to pay an influencer to do anything. Like, I don't believe in that. I think it's a pretty bad decision because at the very least, you can get great content out of it.
Yeah.
You can pay a mid-tier influencer $300 to $500 to create 5 beautiful photos and 1 testimonial video for you. Or you can hire hire my agency or your agency and spend $15,000 on it. And like, you get one use. Like, just do the math. You know what I'm saying? So I think that it should be used more if it's not already.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
I was going to say, and to be honest with you, like, look, I think I'm trying to do the best I can, like take a 30,000 foot view and seeing what's going on in the industry. But you know, for the last month and a half or however long it's been, probably similar to you and a lot of the other listeners, I've been focused on just making sure I can take care of my team and I can take care of my family and I'm taking care of myself. And if influencer A is doing something really cool, good for you, bro. Like, I got people I got to take care of, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
yeah, no, I think you got it. You got to stay focused. And that's one of the things I think is important, especially right now. Mm-hmm. But the brands that are saying, I see the value and I understand, those are the brands that are going to win long-term anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And understanding that this is just temporary. And I think that comes back to what we started with, is this isn't a death sentence for the industry that you're in. It is not a death sentence for your business. I mean, unless God forbid you have COVID, and then that's a whole nother situation.
Right? Sure. And so, here's the thing is like, but temporary could mean like the next year and a half or even longer. Right. So even if it is a temporary thing, like the world is literally focused or is telling you to rethink how you've approached your business in the first place.
Yeah.
How many inefficiencies are we finding because of the fact that we've been forced to work at home? How much overhead did we have? How much of this, like, even, I hate to say this, but restaurant owners who like love to say they own a restaurant and would point to it, drink at the bar, like whatever the case may be, was that important, or was feeding people and your family important? And how can we look at that to where we can take care of our basic needs, maybe a little bit extra, while still running the business, right? So like, we're stripped of all the luxury things, all the crap that really didn't matter. And we're forced to focus on the things that actually like will make an impact on our lives. And I think if you take that from a business perspective, as well as a personal perspective, you're going to do a lot better and realize the glitz and glam don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Half of these people who have these high level jobs, like they were wearing $300 jeans to work. And I guarantee you their sweats from Target are working perfectly fine right now. Like it did not matter. And you're wondering why you're not getting payroll protection or whatever the fuck it might, sorry, whatever it might be. Like, dude, like you spent all your money on dumb crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're being forced to understand that that doesn't matter anymore. So I don't know, man, like whatever it might be, people have to be open to what the world's trying to tell them and how they can rethink their business, how they can rethink their life and adapt accordingly. Because even if it's not, there's a lot of things that are correct. Even if it's not permanent, there's a lot of things that should stay permanent, you know, whether it be work from home, like delivery models, e-commerce models, you know, washing your hands after you take a crap, like those things should be permanent.
Some of those things should happen anyways, right?
Yeah.
Those should not be something where like, oh, I should wash my hands every day. Yes, you should. Are you kidding me? It's exposing a lot of things. I think it's exposing a lot of people, but I think you're dead on. You need to stay focused on what's important, and getting stripped of these luxuries and the things that we're used to, I think is doing a great job of highlighting what actually should be important. So, I'm pumped that you're doing well, and I'm sorry about your wedding, but you've probably heard this before, but it's going to be a memory, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, you're gonna have a story to tell your kids for sure.
You know, I think our generation needed a story. So
we did. It's all good. We didn't have anything. We had like the internet. Ah, come on. Let's get a real story. Let's get something where we can say we walked in the snow barefoot, except it was Corona and we couldn't leave.
Exactly.
All right, Mikhail, thanks for being here, man. Hey, where can everybody check you out?
You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, LinkedIn, like the whole thing at Mick, M-I-Q-K, and the Q comes before the K.
Boom. Dig it. Hey, just real quick, parting shots. Where are you most hot right now? Social platform.
Still Instagram. I'm definitely messing around on TikTok quite a bit, but I haven't found my cadence on it just cause like, I don't know. I haven't found my cadence on it. So still Instagram.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Thank you being here, man.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks so much for listening to the Do Things podcast. That is a Fraser Industry Studios production, created, hosted, edited, and all the things by me, Todd Fraser. Make sure to follow us on social media. At T Fraser SoCal is my personal Instagram and Twitter, and find me on Facebook at the Do Things podcast. We got all kinds of stuff all over the place. YouTube, hit that YouTube, FraserTube.com, or you can go to YouTube and type in Todd Fraser Do Things. All the things pop up. You guys, we want to make sure we inspire and equip as many as you as possible to take action. Share this with your friends. Tell your mom. Get out there. Burn your plans. Do those things. And we will see you on the next episode.